reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, 1 to 18. John chapter 1, 1 to 18. Okay. No, not working. Ah, there we go. Right. One that you'll be familiar with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." It's the Word of God. And again, if you remember nothing, please try to remember some of that. Here's a question, and I'm not asking you to answer it, just want you to ponder the question, or the statement more likely. Philip Pullman is a writer of some note, and in talking to Kirsty Young recently about his life, he said, "Inspiration is the reward for hard work." That's what he said. Inspiration is the reward for hard work. Just ponder that for a moment. I'm not asking you to give me an answer to that. I just want you to think about it. I'm undecided whether that's true or false. So we've just celebrated Easter. So why am I bringing to us what might appear to be a Christmas reading? Have I lost my mind? We've just celebrated Easter again, and it's an important time for us as Christians, isn't it? Really important. The death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. It's a punctuation in our church year, that time that we build up to through Lent, and it punctures our year, as it were, and it prompts us to think about Jesus, and we'll be doing that again here at the communion table. Is it a high point or a low point, Easter? Both, perhaps, in one way or another. In our reading, John seeks to grapple with the whole being of Christ. You can sense that, can't you? Those first three words are what John felt was foundational in his writing. As Julie Andrews sang in The Sound of Music, let's start at the very beginning, because it's a... I don't think John knew that, but he's right. He's grappling, isn't he? Faced with being a fisherman, 3 years with Jesus, and a blank sheet of paper. How does John start? Or how would you start? Being who you are and living the life you live in a way that you live it, having not spent 3 years with Christ, but you may have spent many years with Christ in your Christian living. How would you start? What would you start with? Where would I go? It's an imponderable. In the beginning. So why is that important to us this morning? There was a beginning. Not sound very obvious to you. So what is the writer trying to convey to us in that? There was a beginning. So the trouble is we read these things and just ride right over them. We ride right over them, don't we? We live in a now, but there was a then. Something that was before is responsible for now. Mr. Dawkins and others wants us to believe that we are an accident of fate. No God. Why is there something rather than nothing? Science wants to begin with nothing, but it's stuck with nothing. Don't be misled by thinking that, again to quote Julie Andrews, nothing comes from nothing because nothing ever could. The scientists want us to believe that there was a nothing and then there's a something. But if you believe in nothing, you're stuck there. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to make something with. And that's because they don't really want to believe in a creator. But he's outside of that, isn't he? The trouble is we are finite in our thinking. He is infinite. He's outside of that. John is a fisherman. He's not a philosopher by nature. He's a fisherman, and he is grappling with this, isn't he? Where do I start? Where do I start? Is this the retelling of a fishy story by a lunatic? He speaks of things that bring him no kudos no plaudits at all. He shows us profound revelation, things outside of his usual understanding in a compelling way. So why in the beginning? A better interpretation is not why, but who? That's the problem for the scientist. He doesn't want to believe there was a who. Read verses 2 and 5. He was in the beginning, made, and he made all things, and all life comes from him. This is foundational to us. John follows Moses when he gives us the opening words in the Bible, Moses, doesn't he? In the beginning. And it's a struggle with my tiny mind to know, well, if there was a beginning, what was before that? That's where I'm stuck. Because we can only see things in our dimension. God is outside of that. He's not contained by it. And I can't get my mind around that. Proverbs further enforces our thoughts around this matter when it says, chapter 8, verse 27, I was there when he set the heavens in place. And verse 30, I was constantly at his side. Talking of Jesus in the Proverbs. Your question might be, why bring this to us today, Pete? Because John, having told us who this word was, is now going to tell us something of his experience of the word. This life and light. This word has stepped into our history, our world, John's world, in John's time. And made his dwelling there. This one who creates from nothing steps into our world. You can see why John's grappling with it, can't you? Because we do. We're grappling with it. Of course, John is struggling to express this experience. It is he who is from the beginning. It is he that has shown up. He has seen him. That just sounds really weird. That the one who was right at the beginning, John has seen him. He spoke to him. He's witnessed what this word did, what Jesus did. The Jesus who talked with John was God. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Or not? Perhaps we've been Christians so long we've actually switched our brains off. And just accept it, well, that's a good thing. But it's mind-blowing. And John's struggling. John says, we have seen his glory at this point in human existence. It was there then. Now, in a way, that does not bring us glory. John points out to us the reason for the punctuation in history, the reason for Christ's entry, pulls us up short. We did not seek to recognize the one who was in the beginning, the one who created us. It was to us only thought for ourselves, those who couldn't even see his entry into the world. Scientists may say humans are not special in creation. Have you heard that? We're you know, Mr. Attenborough would just have us down to be another animal. If so, why did God become one of us? Because we are special too. The Word dwelt among us. It's just wonderful, mind-blowing stuff. Why? Why? Or how? How is your question? Why? It's for grace that the Word of life comes. John encompasses practically everything we need to know in 18 verses. That's pretty good stuff. Could you write in 18 verses what the heart does? You might be better at this than us, Stuart, but I don't think I could squeeze it into 18 verses. And it might not be all that I need to know. But most of what I need to know in life is in these 18 verses. Matthew Henry says, "This grace is the goodwill of God towards us," and follows it with, "It is the goodwill of God in us." John has received these words of revelation about the invitation of Christ's restoration. Now, 2,000 and something years later, having heard about the beginning and the time when John lived in the presence of the one who was in the beginning, what have we to say? About last week, about Easter, about today. What have we got to say about those things? Today we live in the grace which costs so dearly. Today we write with our own lives what Jesus has done for us. It's personal. Today we glory not in ourselves, but in the one from the beginning who gave grace. Today we can choose to accept the grace and Jesus or not. John's gospel gives his readers a book of signs. It's a whole book of signs. The other writers talk about all sorts of things, that it's almost a narrative, it's almost a newspaper column of what Jesus did and did. John talks about signs. And in chapter 20, John writes, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which I have not recorded in this book." But what's he go on to say in the next verse? "But these things I have written and are that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you or us may have life in his name." This one from the beginning who John met in that punctuation of that time, and we meet today. Signs to point us to the one who was in the beginning, one who was responsible for you and me being here this morning. Those are massive things, aren't they? And I understand why John's grappling with them and struggling. It sounds really easy, but it's actually quite difficult. John's profound opening to what he wanted to tell us about his law drives us backwards and forwards to see how the bit in the middle is central to the whole human existence. He wrote it approximately 50 years after the events. John's had time to focus on what were the most important aspects of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. That 2,000 years later, what he says strikes us as really important. 5 years later, John the fisherman, bear in mind he's a fisherman, not a great philosopher. Think of the statement I gave you earlier on. Writes Revelation, and we read that and our brains fizzle probably. 2,000 years later, what will your experience of Jesus lead you to do or say? What will it lead me to do or say? Can we share the light that John saw? Can we point to the glory of the Son as we receive grace on grace? The message today is a continuation of what was in the beginning. And John, who was inspired by the Word, moved the narrative on. To quote John Lennox, the prophets showed the people their sins, and John the disciple shows us a saviour. What may our lives show others? Easter's gone. Jesus is coming. Be ready. Be ready. Today. Today we can hunger and thirst to be satisfied. Today we can be enlightened by the light, or we can sit in the dark. Maybe a beginning starts today for you and me. Let's pray. Our Father, we sense John's struggle, and we're right with him, Lord, to understand the omnipotent one, the almighty one, the one who was before creation as we know it and everything else. And we struggle in our minds, Lord, to understand all of that. But we thank you that through your word, you point us, you give us signs to show us who you are. You are the God of all creation, the God that we sung about, the God that we pray to, the God that we read about. And we're not ashamed of that, Lord, no matter what our world might think. We thank you for your word to us this morning, the written word and the word of Jesus and his life and how that is expressed by John. Lord, we do pray that through this week, our lives may speak of you, that the things that we do and say may be things that we want to express to other people who you are. Father, we thank you for the goodness that you so desire to be in us. Help us, Lord, to be those people who share your word with the world. And Father, we thank you for your graciousness towards us in every way. Be with us as we come to your table, Lord, as we share the meal that Jesus instituted. Touch us in that moment. May we grasp in that moment everything that you want us to know. In Jesus' name.